You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Stupid Chi Tricks Revealed. Part 3. The Iron Throat. I'm pretty sure that for as long as humans have been social creatures and have communicated with language, unscrupulous, clever humans have taken advantage of other less clever humans by tricking them into believing that they possess supernatural powers. Once they have the poor rubes believing in their mojo, it's easier to talk them out of their money or to exert influence over them in some other way. Con artists that do this include witch doctors, spiritual mediums, faith healers, and, unfortunately, some martial artists. A sad and ancient tradition from the Asian martial arts is to claim to be able to cultivate and wield a form of energy called qi. It's important to point out here that rigorous scientific inquiry has never uncovered evidence that qi even exists, much less works in the ways that are claimed. Purported methods for cultivating qi include forms of meditation, breathing exercises, chanting, and repetitive physical exercises. Purported outlets for wielding qi once you have cultivated it include more potent striking, enhanced strength and endurance, extra stability in your stance, and, important for today's podcast, resistance to injury. Yet another purported outlet for wielding qi is to demonstrate your qi power, which is usually done in the same entrepreneurial spirit as the snake oil salesman, in order to deceive and attract paying students and other followers. Today I give you part 3 in my series about such martial predators called Stupid Qi Tricks Revealed. Before I begin, I want you to listen carefully to a disclaimer. I'm going to be describing a trick used by some martial artists to deceive an audience into believing that they have developed the quasi-magical power known as qi, and further into believing that the qi power is protecting them from mortal harm. If this trick is performed properly, it's my opinion that there's little danger to the health of the performer. But I can't be sure you'll do it properly. So, despite the fact that I will carefully explain today how the trick is done, this explanation is in no way meant as a recommendation or permission from me for you to try this trick yourself. Let me make it clearer. Do not attempt the trick. If you ignore my advice and do it anyway, I'm not responsible for whatever damage you may inflict on your own dumb ass. With that out of the way, let's move on to the Iron Throat. The Iron Throat is a trick in which the purported martial arts master appears to possess a throat which the needle-sharp point of a spear or arrow cannot penetrate, despite what appears to be a ridiculous amount of force being applied to the weapon in question. In demonstrations, the martial artist stands braced in a deep horse-riding stance, with his fists on his hips. His assistant holds the bamboo shaft of a spear with both hands, and appears to drive the point of the spear so hard against the throat of the martial artist that the spear shaft is bowing down into a severe curve. Wow! Other than the purported alleged power of qi, which is what the martial artist would almost surely claim is protecting him, how can this amazing feat be explained? If you don't already know the answer, you're probably going to want to facepalm when you hear it. First, a little anatomy. If you place a fingertip on your trachea, also called your windpipe, and trace it downwards until you feel a hard surface, you have arrived at a structure called the clavicular notch. That hard surface at the base of the notch is fibrocartilage on top of bone. The notch is the naturally occurring gap between the ends of your clavicles, also called your collarbones, where they connect to your sternum or breastbone. The top of your sternum forms the bone bed upon which the fibrocartilage rests in the notch where your finger now resides. The clavicular notch is a key component to pulling off this particular stupid chi trick. Notice that you can push downwards with your finger on your clavicular notch with a lot of force. Imagine that you now replace your fingertip with the end of a wooden dowel rod, preferably one of a length, diameter, and type of wood that bends easily. It's important that the end of the rod nestle gently against your windpipe. This particular positioning makes the trick appear more dangerous, although, again, if you do it properly, there's very little danger, since you're going to be applying zero pressure against your trachea. Grip the other end of the rod with both hands, your palms facing upward. Apply force to the rod with both your hands, but not by pulling the end of it into your windpipe. Instead, do it by deviating both your wrists in the radial direction, like when unscrewing the lid on a jar of peanut butter, so that the end of the rod pushes down into your clavicular notch, just as your finger did. The distinctive shape of the notch holds the end of the rod nicely and securely in place with no danger of slipping. That is, unless you didn't slide the tip of the dowel rod all the way up until it touches your trachea. If you failed to place the rod deeply enough in your clavicular notch, it does not endanger you in any meaningful way. It simply increases the chance that the tip of the rod will slip down out of your clavicular notch and gouge some flesh along the top of your sternum as it does so. If your dowel rod is long enough, you can even create a visually striking effect when it bends into a bow shape as you apply the pressure. The luscious irony here is that the more the rod bends, the less danger you are in. That's because with each extra degree of bend of the rod, the direction of the pressure shifts even further from your trachea, from straight downward into your clavicular notch, which was already safe, towards a newer and even safer direction, pressing the flat side of the end of the rod into the front of your sternum. But to an uneducated observer, it now looks as if you are trying hard to drive the end of the dowel rod into your trachea, with force sufficient to bend the rod. Now, it has been pointed out to me by partially perceptive individuals that this bending action changes the direction in which the end of the rod points, from straight inward towards your trachea to diagonally upwards towards the soft flesh on the underside of your jaw and chin. They then go on to point out that if the rod slips when oriented at this new angle, it will drive upwards, threatening to penetrate the soft flesh and injure the hypoglottis, which is the anatomical term for the underside of the tongue. But the key to remember here is not the direction in which the end of the rod points, but rather the direction in which the force is being applied. If you find yourself behind the wheel of a car that is skidding sideways on ice, you know that your front bumper is not going to crash into anything, because you're not sliding in the direction of the front of the car. Similarly, the more the rod bends in the execution of this trick, the greater the downward force. That means that if the rod slips, it will not slip upwards, but rather downwards along your chest. But that doesn't alter the fact that to the uneducated audience, the point of the rod appears to be endangering your safety. I've seen quite a few horrified looks when I demonstrated this to people myself. One dramatic variation of this trick is to continue to apply the pressure until the dowel rod snaps in two with an audible crack. Now that always wows the crowd. If you were to now replace the dowel rod with an arrow, you could up the ante and create the same effect using an object that has an obviously dangerous and pointy tip. This would seem to make the trick even more dangerous, until you remember that there is never any force applied against the end of the rod. The point of the arrow never presses with even a millionth of an ounce of pressure against your windpipe. If you replace the arrow with a bamboo-shafted spear, and then train an assistant in the proper method of subtly but safely applying pressure downwards into the clavicular notch, you're ready to dress yourself and your assistant in the appropriate costumes, gather an audience, and assume the mantle of the master of chi power. So, if you have no scruples, and you stupidly choose to ignore my earlier disclaimer and warning not to try this yourself, you too can be a total douchebag as you thrill to the sound of horrified gasps from spectators who are not hip to the trick, and then sign them up for multi-year contracts at your temple of traditional martial arts. Now it's fun to deconstruct tricks like this, but keep in mind that there's a dark side to such stories. So rather than joining the dark side, use your critical thinking skills to filter out the bullshit and keep your money. And you should also hip your friends and loved ones to the same lesson. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. Having trouble getting laid? Would you like to scare farm animals and small children? Buy the Martial Brain t-shirt and impress your friends. Hit me up at my website, rpmartialarts.com, if you want one. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.